We live in ominous times when high-profile men are becoming exposed for their hidden sins. What they believed would remain a secret has finally become public. And the list of embarrassed luminaries whose reputations are ruined has grown far too long. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll identifies the root sin that places us all at risk. This is not a message that shames the downfallen. It's a study in God's Word that should place all of us on watch. Chuck titled today's message, God Humbles a Proud Heart. And we begin by reading from Acts chapter 9.
We are completing a five-part mini-series, which I've titled, God Knows What He's About. He knows what He's doing when He is blessing us. He also knows what He's doing when He is crushing us. The blessing part we love, the crushing experiences at the hand of God are never enjoyable, though in the end, there are magnificent benefits that come only through that time of testing. The last time we looked at the way God reaches into and bends a stubborn will in the life of a man named Jonah, today we're considering how God humbles a proud heart, as in the case of Saul of Tarsus. If you have brought your Bible with you, please open to Acts chapter 9. It's an intriguing account of a man's life as he is suddenly crushed before the Lord on a mission of misery in hopes of bringing people in chains back to Jerusalem to put them on trial and hopefully to watch them die. This man, Saul of Tarsus, has no idea what is before him, as we will read here, and the Lord gets his attention in a most unusual manner. Find your place to Acts 9. Listen to God's word. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you were persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there, blind, for 3 days, did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, get over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Ties in beautifully with our mini-series, The Lord Knows What He's About.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message called God Humbles a Proud Heart.
I begin today with a statement you have already heard. Since that's true, I would like for you to make yourself think you are hearing it for the first time. Because of its significance and because of its seriousness, I don't want it to sort of drift away from your mind. When God wants to do an impossible task, He takes an impossible person and crushes him or her. The statement sounds a lot like what A.W. Tozer wrote in one of his works. It's doubtful God can use anyone greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Now, both statements make us uncomfortable. We want to think of our Heavenly Father as a God of compassion and understanding, and He is. Never doubt it. We want to think of Him as goodness and love, full of caring mercy for those in need, and He is. But just like every good father, He also must do what is painful, knowing it is for our best. It is not a sign of a loving Heavenly Father to overlook wrongdoing or to ignore a child who is out of control and fast becoming impossible to rear. Good fathers step in and stop that kind of action and thinking. Or at least they do their best to do so. So it is with our Heavenly Father. You see, and all of us who are parents hardly need to be told this, children, while they are a joy, are also a challenge. And some a greater challenge than others. In every family, there seems to be at least one, sometimes more, sometimes all. The children are challenging. And I would venture to add, sometime, some of them can be absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. Often, the impossible ones who grow up remaining like that are also proud and arrogant, meaning they are going to have their way regardless of you or anyone else. How often we will say to each other, it's time for us to be quiet. There's nothing more we can say or do. In fact, if we say or do more, we will make things worse. And so we step back. Let me assure you, God rarely steps back. He steps up. And those who are beyond impossible, God has a way of getting their attention. In fact, you may be surprised to hear this. Some of the harshest words in Holy Scripture are reserved for the proud and arrogant. For with that sense of independence and that determination to go one's own way, there is the accompanying pride and arrogance that add to the impossibility of changing that person. Listen to these two verses, both from the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Surely he will not go unpunished. And then from the latter part of the 11th verse in Isaiah 13, I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. The very first thing that the Lord names among those things he hates is a proud look. Think of that. Number one, God hates pride. And when it is wrapped in a spirit of arrogance, it is unbearable. He used the word, I'll repeat it, it is an abomination. If there ever was a man whose pride needed crushing, it was Saul of Tarsus. Now, we forget that because he became the magnificent leader in the church, the writer of so much of the New Testament. Virtually every letter we read bears his name. His counsel has driven us deeper in our walk with Christ than most any other individual in the Bible. Again and again, he appears as a model of this magnificent thinker, this humble servant, this man faithful to the end, so that in the very last letter, he says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. Saul, becoming Paul the Apostle, became for us a model. But not until the Saul of Tarsus was cut down to size. In my travels, I have been to Australia several times. One of the reasons I love the Australians is because they don't put up with arrogance. They don't think it's a good quality. In fact, there's a common saying among Australians, we have a way of cutting down the tall poppy. I like that. Unless, of course, I happen to be a tall poppy at the moment and they're in the process of cutting down. They are not impressed with titles, position, roles of authority. They're independent thinkers. Therefore, when they come across arrogance and pride, they look for ways to cut it down to size. Saul of Tarsus was an individual who could not have survived in Australia. They wouldn't have put up with it. But more importantly, God didn't. In fact, it is not too much to say no enemy of Christianity ever reached such a degree of despicable notoriety than Saul of Tarsus. That's right. He was honest when he wrote, I am the chief of sinners. We tend to make light of that or to say he's just using the privilege of an author's exaggeration. It is no exaggeration. He was the most zealous of the zealous. He was the most brutal of the brutal. He was the most cruel of the cruel, heartless to the core. He was the worst of the worst. His great goal in life as a Pharisee in his lost estate was to make the followers of the way as miserable as possible. It was his goal to shut down Christianity. Scripture reveals the truth regarding him in his lost estate. Though he was religious, he was lost. Listen to these words from various sections of the New Testament. Acts 22:4, Saul is speaking. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison. Acts 26:9-10, I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Not only did I lock up saints in prison, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. You remember, he was the one who stood there as Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr, and Saul looked on it with pleasure. He took delight in the death of Stephen, another Christian off the earth. Acts 8:3, Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Galatians 1:13, you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen. Hear the arrogance? Hear the pride? He took great joy in the cruelty that was administered by him and his body of thugs who went from one place to another to make life miserable for Christians. One more, he says to Timothy, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Are you ready? Saul was a terrorist of the worst kind. He targeted every Christian he could get near. Every door he hammered on, if they didn't open it, he broke his way in. Every time he found someone who was a devoted follower of the way, he hauled him off, or her, or the family. This is Saul of Tarsus, and how proud and how arrogant he was carrying out this mission of misery until Acts chapter 9 records he's on his way to the ancient city of Damascus. I don't know how to make it any clearer. He is beyond impossible, and it's time for the Lord to step in. Indeed, he does. Look with me at how God humbles this arrogant man. Saul went to the high priest, requested letters to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus, he has in his hands the papers he needs, the official documents, search warrants, if you will, that got him into wherever he wished to go, where there were Christians, so that he might lock them up, hopefully be there for the trial when they were put to death, until he was stopped in his tracks. And God began to crush him. We read in Acts chapter 9, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone all around him, and he fell to the ground and he heard a voice. Let me suggest to you, for the first time in a long time, perhaps ever in his adult life, he is no longer in control. The crushing has begun. The hounds of heaven have found Saul. He stopped in his tracks, whether he's on the back of a horse or in a cart or on his feet, whatever, he is knocked to the ground and the light is blinding. And he hears a voice calling his name. There's no person to see. There is only a voice to hear. And Saul, this proud, arrogant terrorist for the cause of Judaism, is literally brought to his knees. This is the beginning of the crushing. Up until now, Saul has been in charge. He graduates at the top of his class, studying under Gamaliel. He's the brightest mind of the first century in the area of Judaistic theology. He is a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And suddenly he is knocked down as his humiliation begins. God never runs out of ways to knock us down. So he says, or he hears the word Saul, Saul. So whoever this is knows him. And does he ever? And then he asks, why are you persecuting me? Saul has no idea who the one speaking is. So he says, sir, who are you? The word Lord appears, but it's not his conversion here. That would come later. Here, it's like a word of respect. Sir, kurios. Who are you, sir? Who are you? You know me. I don't know you. Who are you? Can you imagine the shock when he heard the words, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting? The hounds of heaven found him. And they now have him encircled.
This is just the beginning of a transformation that all began with a lesson in humility. And there's so much more we need to learn from Saul's example. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, God Humbles a Proud Heart. If you want to hear it again, we invite you to download the audio file at insightworld.org. Passages like Acts chapter 9 come alive with meaning when Chuck demonstrates how to carefully study the cultural setting and observe the tension between biblical characters. And these are the treasures you'll find in the brand new Swindoll Study Bible, available right now. Chuck has invested his entire adult life poring over the scriptures, and the Swindoll Study Bible represents the culmination of the countless hours he spent in his private library. All 66 books in the Swindoll Study Bible begin with helpful contextual information. He's included profiles on key biblical figures. There's even a Holy Land tour that brings vivid meaning to the geographical maps we often ignore. And of course, you'll find living insights that bring so many passages to life. Because of its popularity, this resource has already gone back to press for more copies. And while you can likely find it through other avenues, we encourage you to make your purchase through Insight for Living Ministries. The Swindoll Study Bible comes in a variety of bindings, and you can make your selection right now by going online to insight.org/study Bible. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And then when you also include a donation with your purchase of the Study Bible, we'll be pleased to include a copy of 6 CDs containing 6 listener favorites from Chuck's teaching last year. It's called Our Best for His Highest. These were the 6 most highly requested sermons of 2017. If you're listening in the United States, request the CD set when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Every page of the brand new Swindoll Study Bible is filled with content that's designed to help you grow closer to Jesus as you engage with God's Word. With book introductions, application articles, people profiles, prayer moments, living insights, and more, this legacy Bible belongs in your home.
For more than 60 years, I've loved the Bible. I confess without hesitation, I'm addicted to the examination and the proclamation of the Scriptures. To the last of my days, my great goal in life is to communicate the Word with accuracy, insight, clarity, and practicality.
And now you have access to decades of Chuck's personal study in the Scriptures, bound into one brand new volume, the Swindoll Study Bible. Available in your choice of covers, you can make your selection at insight.org/study Bible.
This new study Bible was designed with you in mind. As you read the Scriptures, I want you to imagine my sitting beside you, sharing personal stories, important insights, and hard-earned lessons that will encourage you to walk more closely with Jesus Christ, your Lord.
The Swindoll Study Bible in the New Living Translation is available today by going to insight.org/study Bible. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his message about the many ways God humbles a proud heart. Tune in for Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Humbles a Proud Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.